heard some of his most memorable sermons about it. Looking down at the little town from atop the hills of Palestine, Brooks was overwhelmed by the miracle that had taken place there so long ago. Now he had finally written a poem about it, a lovely poem as far as Redner was concerned, but how would he make the time to do it justice? Phillips Brooks was an important man, admired all over America. Not only was he a talented writer whose sermons were printed and sold in bookstores, but he was also a magnificent speaker. With Brooks at the pulpit, the church was always filled. And Redner? Redner was just a simple organist. Who was he to say no to the great Phillips Brooks? "I will try to compose the music," Redner promised. When the rector was gone, Redner sighed, wondering when he would have a chance to sit quietly and work on the project. On Sunday, 5 days before Christmas, the choir would have its final rehearsal for the special service. Anything that was to be sung would have to be ready by then so the children could have a chance to prepare. "Have you ground out that music yet?" Brooks asked Redner late Friday afternoon. Redner shook his head. "I will do what I can tomorrow," he promised. "I have set some time aside." Brooks was disappointed, but he tried not to show it. "If you are unable to compose the music," he said gently, "I will understand." On Saturday, Redner sat down at his desk, but his mind was filled with the mighty anthems his choir was to perform, and he could not concentrate on the rector's simple poem. He was interrupted by other business. A choir robe was missing. There seemed to be a problem with the organ. He ran out of ink for his pen. After working late into Saturday night on the choir's music, without much more thought on the rector's poem, Redner crawled into bed, exhausted and frustrated. Phillips Brooks would not get to hear his poem on Christmas Day. "I can't write this music," Redner thought as he fell asleep. "If you want it sung at the Christmas Eve service, Lord, you will have to write it yourself." Deep into the night, Redner awoke. Did he hear singing? Redner opened his eyes. Someone was whispering a tune in his ear. Redner listened, transfixed, until the singing stopped. Then he lit a candle and looked around the room. He was alone. Seizing a piece of paper from the nightstand, he quickly jotted down the song he'd heard. "One day I will find the perfect words for it." With a smile on his face, Redner snuffed the wick and closed his eyes. The first thing Redner saw the next morning was the piece of paper beside his bed. Looking it over, he realized that the simple tune was just right for Brooks' equally modest poem. Redner thought of the piece as the angel's string.